Hi, it's Tim Dre, president of the Illinois AFL-CIO. Thank you for listening to The Worker's Mic, supported by the Illinois AFL-CIO, fighting every day for working families. Visit ilafl-cio.org today. Enjoy the show, and remember, it's better in a union.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. I'm Ken Edwards with the NCL. To my right is Ed Maher with the NCL. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning. You're back.
I am back. He's back. I missed you guys.
Well, you still miss Phil because he's not here.
Yeah. You know why?
Where is he at? Oh, okay.
I made that up. I think he's actually in Vegas.
Yeah, he's for a conference, I think.
For the Carpenters.
Yes.
So it's just the two of us today, and also, if you hear noise in the background, that is the Air and Water Show.
Yeah.
Right?
Keeps scaring me every time.
I think we're getting attacked.
We're getting, what do they call it, buzzed?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Especially from up here, it's really, really cool. So that's a big thing. You know, I know you guys are making fun of me.
We weren't.
Thinking that I couldn't catch a fish.
It's hard.
And I did. I caught a bunch of fish. Nothing to write home about.
Yeah.
But I did catch fish.
You know, they say the size doesn't really matter.
Do they say that?
No, they don't.
That's what they tell you.
Yeah.
So, no. Yeah.
It's tough being an Irish fisherman.
That's why they call it fishing, not catching.
Exactly.
So it was fun. Great time with the family. East Coast. It was really, really nice. So a lot of driving. We drove back in one day. That was tough.
Terrible idea.
Yeah, it turns out to be.
I'm sure you guys were not, bickering
fighting,
at each other.
Fighting. Yeah. Rachel ends up sleeping half the time, so that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So, and then big news for Chicagoland, the firefighters got a deal.
Yeah.
Right?
We're going to have.
Phil talked about it, I think, on Wednesday, on Workers Wednesday.
Yep. And we'll have Pat Cleary on in just a minute to talk with us.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Give us the skinny.
Yeah. How was your time when I was gone?
We missed you terribly.
Really?
No, not really. We had a good time. No. Everything was pretty good. I mean, we've got the state fair going on this week, and we have a special correspondent, or we had a special correspondent down there earlier this week who got a few interviews, and we'll play one of those.
You want to name who it is, or you want to wait and surprise
everybody? We'll wait. I think we surprise everybody.
Okay, fair enough.
You got to keep them tuned in to 720, Ken.
Yeah. Because our special correspondent's going to keep
that's
them
right.
on the edge of their seat.
I paid attention at company WGN training. You know, apparently I might have been the only one.
Do they have that?
Oh, my God.
WGN training.
Boy, oh, boy.
Ridiculous.
That says it all right.
All right, listen, let's get Pat on the phone.
Yep.
Ready?
All right, we're pretty excited to have Pat Cleary from, he's the president of Firefighters Local 2 here in Chicago, representing Chicago firefighters. We got him on the phone. So, Pat, first off, thank you so much for joining us.
And congratulations on your deal.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
We do have to have it voted on.
Right,
for
so
sure.
Yeah, it's a tentative agreement.
But we've been talking about this for years, like literally for years, ever since we've been on the radio. They've been in negotiations, literally, and a year before that, right?
Right.
So four years, Pat, is that what it was?
Yeah, 4 years of my life.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And so you guys, just broad brush, you went to mediation, right?
Correct.
So explain that real quick. What is mediation, Pat?
So you have, like you said before, an arbitrator, and he's in the room with you. And he just kind of stares you. Like, if you're proposing something and he thinks it's crazy, he just tells you, hey,
either
I
side.
Want to go down that road. You're not going to get that, so don't pursue that, you know?
Got it. And so
it streamlines it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so did he do, like, what we call shuttle negotiations, where he'd go back and forth into different rooms? Okay, yeah. So what a mediator does, for those of you listening, is they come in, usually they'll put the parties together and go, okay, what are the open issues? And then they put the parties in separate rooms, and the mediator literally just walks back and forth. But it's, you know, I've done mediation as well. It's nice to have the mediator tell your team sometimes, like, hey, you know, what you're reaching for there is simply not going to happen. I think you could get here. You know, and then they float some, like, test balloons, right? Like, hey, if the union did this, hey, city, would you do that? If the city did this, hey, union, would you do that, right?
Yeah, manages expectations.
Exactly. That's exactly what happened.
Good. And so What's the voting process like for you guys? Because you guys are massive, right? How many members are in the unit?
So only the active members vote on it. So
right.
There's 4,800 active members.
Got it.
So we go to the stewards. We explain it to the stewards. We give it to them. They go out to the field, and then we have a meeting with our membership as well,
yeah.
And explain it to them after the stewards have already done it.
Do you have meeting like in person meeting? How do you do it when you guys are running 24/7s?
We have back to back 2 days.
Got it. Yeah,
and I do it twice.
And that's where the members will vote on this. And after that happens, if you're recommending this agreement to them, that would be when it's final, right?
They don't vote on it at the meeting. We then mail a ballot out to them.
Okay.
That's interesting. Yeah. That's good. Okay. You know what?
So you get an honest vote.
Yeah, I like it. So I'm glad to hear you say that, Pat, because people have the opinion sometimes that unions go like, hey, everybody, here's your deal, and just sign the deal.
Right.
And you guys don't do that. You guys are extremely democratic in this process. So you explain it, right? And then you literally will send out a ballot, and then they mail it back.
Right.
And
we're also going to do email ballot, too.
Oh, good for you. Good for you. That's awesome.
Union getting with the times.
Wow, look at the firefighters coming into the 21st century. How do you like that?
How about it?
So details have been kept pretty close, and I understand that. I mean, you want your members to hear about it from you rather than reading about it in the media. So,
would you come, like, when all's said and done, win, lose, or draw, would you come on the show, like, actually come on down to see you and then talk about the deal? Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, look, we appreciate it. And kudos to you for sticking this thing out. Kudos to your members for sticking it out. You know, shame on the city for dragging this thing out. It should have never have lasted this long. But, you know, we're psyched that you got a deal. I hope it works out well. I hope your members are happy. And we appreciate everything that you guys do for the city of Chicago and its residents, Pat.
Yeah, I think they'll be happy. I think they're happy that it's over as well.
Sure.
And they deserve what they're going to get. They deserve it. They've been waiting.
Yeah, no
kidding. They deserve a good contract. So.
Yeah, they do. Good for you. All right, brother. Well, thank you so much for coming on. And
we'll talk to you soon.
Yep, we'll be back with more of the Workers Mike right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers Mike, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. Ken, Ed. So, there was a the State Fair in Illinois?
Yeah, the State Fair.
Okay, and that's a big deal.
For sure. Yeah, I can't say I've been in the last few years, a lot of folks go down. All the organizations in Springfield have, you know, special days and big events.
And one of the organizations, obviously, is good friends of ours, sponsors the show, the Illinois AFL-CIO, and they had an event down there.
Right.
And thank you so much to Bridget Davidson.
Bridget Davidson, our newest field correspondent.
Yeah. Which is Phil Davidson's wife.
Yeah. She was down there and had the opportunity to meet and greet some folks, and she had a microphone with her.
Which was awesome. So she met Hakeem Jeffries.
Yeah, he's right? the House Minority Leader, the top Democrat in the House in Congress.
So he was there, obviously, for the labor portion of this thing.
Yeah, he was their big surprise guest at the AFL-CIO event.
And so we're going to play two clips that she recorded, and then we're going to come back and we're going to comment to them. Ready? Here we go.
Okay, I'm here today with Leader Jeffries in Springfield at the AFL barbecue. And Leader Jeffries, can you tell me what the Democratic Party is doing to win back the working people?
Well, we're going to work incredibly hard to make sure that we meet people where they are and recognize that in this country, when you work hard and play by the rules, you should be able to live a comfortable life. Good paying job, good housing, good health care, good education for your children, and a good retirement. And no one has done more to bring that American dream to life than the men and women of organized labor. And that's why we're going to continue to stand strongly behind our unions.
And we're hearing about wages, we're hearing about housing, making that more affordable. Anything else that you're going to be specifically doing for working people?
One of the top priorities is to pass the Protect the Right to Organize Act, the PRO Act, so we can push back against this aggressive attack on unions that is being led by Donald Trump and his extreme administration. I myself am a product of a working class household. Both my parents have been union members throughout their entire lives. That's one of the reasons why I'm here today, and we want to make sure that the men and women of organized labor can pass along that same opportunity to their children and their grandchildren.
Last question for you. This Labor Day feels especially significant given the current climate in our country. Can you tell me about the meaning for you this year?
Well, the attack on organized labor is unprecedented in modern American history. We've got a pushback. They want us to stand down. We're not going to stand down. We're going to stand up. And so this Labor Day will be an opportunity to, of course, reflect on what has happened during the first several months of the Trump administration, but also strengthen our resolve in defense of the men and women of organized labor.
Thank you so much, Leader.
Thank
Jeffers.
You.
I really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
What do you think about that? Word salad, in my humble opinion.
It sounds like it's like saying a lot without saying really much of anything. Hakeem Jeffries has done a lot of good things recently.
For sure.
He's been a defender. He's been an opponent of things that I feel are very anti-worker.
Yep.
But it's, I feel like right now the Democratic strategy is Trump is bad, so vote for us.
Yeah, that's not really a strategy. And by the
it's
way,
not.
It didn't work last time.
Well, it doesn't. And voters, I mean, the New York Times did this big thing this past week about how middle-class working voters feel about political parties. And they don't like either of them right now.
Yeah.
Like, there's no winner and loser. There's no... So you can't point at one and say, they're bad, vote for us. You know, you have to be able to show a little bit more. And, you know, do I think that the Democratic Party is better for workers than what Trump is doing right now? I do. Personally, yes. Do I? Yeah, for sure.
Of course. But it's like we're at the point where it's like you have to pick like the lesser of two evils. Look, when he said, this is what drives me crazy, right? We're going to meet workers where they are. Well, no, you're not.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything. And no, you're not meeting workers where they are. If you met workers where they are, you'd see what you and I see, Ed, traveling around the country. Which is, this is what workers care about. They care about jobs, their family, right?
Yeah.
You know, some social issues, but not the ones that the Dems are pushing. And that's meeting workers where they are. And it could be much, much simpler if they actually put their money where their mouth is instead of this, you know, garbly gook. And then, of course, you know, I think, you know, thank you to Bridget for pushing them a little bit.
She
right?
did.
She's like, hey, okay, now in plain English, what are you going to do?
What exactly is it that you're saying?
Oh, we're going to pass the PRO Act. And you know what? They had the opportunity to pass the PRO Act when the Dems had the House, the Senate, and the presidency. And what did they do? They didn't even put it up.
Right.
It never saw the light of day.
We're at a place where the vote of workers in America is so valuable and so needed for whoever is going to be the party that controls Washington.
Yeah.
I mean, the days of divided government are probably over for a while. So it's going to be controlled by one party or the other. You need these votes, so you have to run on a record, you know, and whether it's you know, the Employee Free Choice Act that you had all the votes, you had both chambers, you had the White House,
it
just all of a sudden wasn't important.
Like right.
The old, don't tell us you love us, show us you love us.
Yeah.
Now, you know, do I equate like a lot of sort of talk from the Democrats to the, you know, just killing the survivors that the Trump administration is doing right now? No, absolutely not. But, you know, you got to have a better strategy because otherwise they're just going to keep killing survivors. So we're counting on somebody, Democrats, probably the most likely to take an actual pro-worker, pro-union platform. I don't see the Republicans doing it right now because they could, and they are doing really just the opposite.
Yeah, I think that's right. And look, it's, you know, we keep hearing this, you know, that it's the old, like, you know, they came for them, and I, you know, what I did nothing because they weren't coming for me.
Right.
Right. And, you know, now they're going after government unions, and they're just gutting. Right, the EPA, FEMA, the Veterans Administration. I mean, they're just ripping up union contracts.
It's crazy. I mean, we talked about this on the show with the first group that you go after is VA. You're going to wipe out protections for nurses at VA hospitals.
80,000, and they're all veterans.
Yeah, this reminds me of old, like, Looney Tunes commercials where, you know, Wile E. Coyote's just like, yeah, I got figured it out, and then he blows himself up.
Right.
And, I mean, they're doing it with FEMA. If there's any thing that's shown that it can end a public official's career, it's a poor response to a disaster.
Yeah.
So like
Jane Byrne.
Yeah.
Chicago.
Or, I mean, just like you know, hurricanes, when they had those floods in San Antonio and the folks who were down there are not able to get in touch with anybody because FEMA just got gutted.
Right.
What does the administration say? Well, we're fixing it because Biden broke it.
Oh,
it's like, I've been lied to by some pretty good people, you know, and this is not very good.
I was born at night. It wasn't last night.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, you know, I was reading, you know, sort of the antithesis of the American labor laws, and that is Canada.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, I don't know why this just keeps popping up in my feeds. The Canadian Air Canada flight attendants get ready to go on strike, right? That's a big deal because it, you know, they fly here in America as well, right?
Yeah.
So that's going to affect travel here. But more importantly and more interesting, I read that in British Columbia, mm-hmm. which is somewhere in Canada,
The beautiful part of Canada.
It's the nice part.
Yeah, it's over like Vancouver,
wherever it is. Okay.
Yeah.
So they. Amazon and Uber were both organized in British Columbia.
Yeah.
And British Columbia has a law called dependent contractor, not independent contractor, dependent contractor.
Yeah.
And it has a very simple, you know, laundry list of things that make you a dependent contractor. Well, sure enough, of course, Uber in Canada, or at least in British Columbia, is a dependent contractor. And voila, they organized 500 Uber drivers.
Yeah.
Uber didn't even put up a fight. Okay, Amazon, of course, wasn't going to go down without swinging because it's Amazon.
Right.
It doesn't matter where they are. And the law is stacked against them up there, too, because they have actual real labor laws with teeth. And Amazon, you know, put on a massive anti-union campaign, flooded these folks with, you know, I think it was a warehouse, whatever, flooded them with just pounding them with anti-union literature to the point where it was so bad that the labor board up there, I don't know what it's called, basically said, you're actions here were so egregious, we're simply going to order bargaining.
Right.
And here, like, I think it's called a Gissel bargaining order. It doesn't happen very often. And voila, they now have to bargain. So Uber and Amazon both get organized up there. Why? Because their labor laws have teeth. Because they're actually doing something. Because the politicians up there are, you know, pro-working class, pro-people, as opposed to this word salad that we get from both sides of the aisle here in the United States. And our labor laws continue to have... You know, if you thought they were toothless before, they're getting a lot. They're losing a lot of teeth.
Whatever hasn't been wiped out, the people who would be in charge of enforcing those laws have been wiped out. So
right.
There's really nothing left to save workers.
Yeah, and I'm reading, like, you know, the general counsel for the National Labor Relations Board now is issuing memos like, hey, everything that was good for worker bees, we need you to undo all of that.
Right.
Right? So it just, I don't know. It just seems to me that...
And when the next... administration that's worker friendly comes in,
sure.
They will have to dismantle the anti-worker things at the NLRB. So it's like a constant cycle of like undoing whatever the last person did. So we're never actually like making plans for the future.
No, we're never actually moving the ball forward. And that's a shame. You know, my son argues that the 4-year terms are too short because, you know, it's just flip-flop. You know,
depends on who's in office, I think.
Well, I think even Donald Trump would agree that 4 years is too short.
I don't think he has. I think he's got no plans to limit it to 4 years.
I think that's right.
Yeah,
we'll see. So anyway, so I thought that was interesting. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We'll talk some more workers' issues that are going on around the country, including the new head of the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
Oh, yeah.
BLS.
That's right.
Not a radio station. BLS. All right. So we'll be right back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. Ken, Ed. So, in news, BLS, right? So, what is BLS? BLS is a Bureau of Labor Statistics.
That's right.
It is a nonpartisan organization that literally just monthly reports on job growth, you know, how many people are hired, you know, what the economy is doing, et cetera.
And this data is It sounds nerdy. It sounds boring. It's extraordinarily valuable to the markets. It indicates basically the health of the American economy, whether it's inflation or unemployment.
Right. So there was a poor showing. I think it was last month.
Yeah.
And the economy certainly seemed to cool down, and employers were certainly not hiring. Like an abysmal amount of hiring.
It was still growth, but it was just a little bit.
A tiny bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was less than analysts had forecasted.
Right. So what does our fearless leader do when somebody gives, like, don't bring me no bad news?
Right. You got to kill the messenger.
he fired the person that's the head of the BLS and said, that news was fake. It was trumped up.
She's terrible.
She doesn't know what she's talking about. The economy is booming and it's going great. Now, ask the recent college grad. You had an example of one, right? From Purdue.
Yeah, she was. There's this woman. She had a TikTok video. She's 21 years old. Her name's Manasi Mishra. She graduated Purdue with a computer science degree and a great GPA. Perfect candidate for a job. And said, "Hey, all these years, people said learn to code. This is a great, this is the future of employment." She graduates Purdue with a computer science degree, and she says that only one place is willing to interview her, and that is Chipotle.
And I'm assuming not as a coder.
No. I think she's going to be making burrito bowls. Hopefully she's not going to, but I think that's what they're looking to offer. So.
So the economy's booming. No, it's not.
It's not.
No. It's certainly not. And people are getting laid off in droves, obviously, all the federal employees, but now you're also seeing the start, and I think we're at the very, very tip of the iceberg of AI replacing people, right?
Well, they're saying it's only replacing entry-level jobs. It's like, well, then how do the mid-level people get to the middle if there's no entry-level jobs?
I think it's great. You just skip over the entry and go right to the middle.
I'm not that smart, Ken, but this doesn't make – this seems crazy to me.
Pretty soon it's like, listen, we just got rid of the entry-level jobs, and now we got rid of the mid-level jobs.
Does that mean I'm going to be starting as a manager?
You start as a CEO.
No, that's not what it means.
No, you're not going to be starting, period.
Yeah, it means we've got some tobacco that needs picking.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, there's going to be nobody left to do that as well.
Except us.
Get ready to bend over, everybody. Right. So what does Trump do, right? He nominates this guy named...
EJ Antony.
Okay, EJ.
Who is EJ?
Okay, well, yeah, first of all, who is EJ, right? So you just look, Google it. You'll find articles across the spectrum, but everybody on the right, the left, the middle, all say, like, this guy should not be running this thing. He is simply not qualified.
He lacks a basic understanding of economics.
Somebody
said that. He got his master's, so I should take it easy on him, because he got his master's at my alma mater, the great, the powerful Northern Illinois University.
Wait a second.
Yes.
What's their team called? The Wildcats?
The Huskies.
Oh, the Huskies.
Yeah, me, I'm Husky.
Everybody figured out I use Husky.
I'm the mascot. I would run across the field, but it's too far.
It's too long. That's pretty good. Yeah. So, I heard that that's the best school in DeKalb. Is that true?
I mean, I would say so. I don't know if there's any data out on that, but I would imagine.
Well, it's like my alma mater. I went to the 6th best law school on State Street or whatever street it's on.
You don't even know what street it's on.
I forget. It's a long
time
ago.
You were focused on the important things.
That's right. So this guy is going to take over, he has to be confirmed, right? And so
he does.
He was also, by the way, I just read this morning, he was present on January 6th at the Capitol.
Yeah.
Now they show him walking away from the crowd, et cetera. And it was like, oh, he had meetings. Like, what? He had meetings on January 6th, on Insurrection Day or whatever?
By current logic, doesn't walking away from the insurgency make him not a patriot? I can't keep track.
That's actually a good point.
Yeah, I don't know if that's bad.
Wait, you get pardoned if you are involved in it.
Right.
And if you're walking away from it, shouldn't you be thrown in jail?
I'm not sure.
Good point.
I don't know if up is down or
it a lot.
But he's a grad, and the only place that he's ever done economics is for the Heritage Foundation, which
Koch brothers?
It's Project 2025. So the Heritage Foundation is basically the farm team for everyone who's being sort of put in the government to do as you're told and just let's burn this thing to the ground.
Dismantle the government.
Yeah, he's been on Steve Bannon's podcast. He's been on you know, a number of different, like, extremely partisan podcasts, and he's just justifies sort of the worst of the administration's activities. But he's a proponent of getting rid of the BLS. He's right. He doesn't think it's like bringing Linda McMahon into the Department of Education just to shut it down.
Right.
So you don't like the numbers because they're not good for you. So you say they're fake and you fire the person who gives the numbers, and then you bring in someone that wants to get rid of it. At some point, like, because these numbers are important to the markets, like, if this guy, no matter what he puts out in his first report, if there's a first report, if he puts out that they're great, that they're terrible, nobody's going to believe him no matter what.
I think
But if all of a sudden there's a miraculous rebound to the economy, I think the, you know, the stock market is just going to say, like, I don't know about this.
Well, here, right? What do? You're going to put out numbers when they're good for you, and if they're not good for you, you're going to skip that month?
Yes.
He literally...
I think the answer is yes.
He's literally said, like, we shouldn't be putting out these numbers every
month. He wants to do it quarterly now.
That's smart.
I'm like, you're just expecting a rough quarter here?
I mean, here, listen. Now, in a weird way, right, we're on... Politics makes strange bedfellows, but we're on the same team, I think, in this particular instance as Wall Street. It's like, hey, Wall Street, rein this guy in, because you need these numbers to know how well the market's doing. Hey,
right.
Fed, you need these numbers to know what the interest rates should be.
And what people are making, like how much workers are earning, what unemployment actually really is. Because if unemployment's going up and everyone's being told that unemployment is fine and that it's going down, then all of a sudden you have a crisis building in the background, a bubble, and it'll burst, and everyone will be like, oh, we had no idea because the numbers said. You know, so I think every person out there, we have to expect that the numbers we're getting from the government reflect the reality.
Yeah.
And I don't have a lot of confidence in this guy just because his past, he's an extraordinarily partisan person coming from a place that is known for just doing the bidding.
Yeah, like you said, you don't know what's up and what's down at the moment.
I'm having trouble.
Yeah, it really is. Like, you know, if you listen to Trump, he's like, everything's great, everything's booming, the economy's great, you know, wars are ending, and
China,
et cetera, et cetera. I don't even hear him say China anymore.
Yeah.
And so, you know.
He wants that Nobel Peace Prize real bad.
Boy, I don't know.
Yeah, he just negotiated some end to a conflict with Azerbaijan and maybe Armenia.
Yeah.
And so he's like, you know, but they won't give me the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah, I didn't know they were.
I think it's like getting into Augusta Country Club. They don't give it to you if you ask for it.
Good
like
point.
If you look too interested, then they're like, nah, we're not going to give it to him. But
so anyway, we got that. You told me something interesting that Iowa decided to take Doge and make their own version of it.
They have a state version of Doge, the Iowa Doge. It's a Department of Governmental Efficiency, I think.
In Iowa.
Yeah, I've forgotten what it is since it imploded so poorly on the national scale we don't hear about it. But they've done it in Iowa.
Why? Like, what do they need that for?
So the president will think that they're a good state and maybe not send the National Guard there. I don't know. Just like, look at us. We're doing what you want.
Yeah. What are they going to do, though? I heard they're trying to slash like public employees' benefits and wages and things like that.
So the benefits that state employees make are paid more by the state than by the workers. So I think the blend for like health care and retirement for these employees is 70% borne by the state, 30% borne by the employees. And so the Iowa Doge is saying that doesn't reflect the private sector. It would probably be flipped on the private sector. So we've got to slash these. We've got to change everything. And the folks who represent these workers are saying, if you work for the state in Iowa, you're making less money than what people in the private sector are making.
Sure.
But that's a calculation that these folks are comfortable with because they take these jobs for better retirement security. So if you upend this system before somebody retires, you've totally sort of ruined their working life.
We pulled the rug out from under them, right?
Move exactly.
The goalpost back again. And it's like the football thing with
Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
right.
There goes the football again, folks.
So, you know, what's the purpose of doing this? I don't think there is one other than just to be evil.
It's the old like
save taxpayers 6 cents.
Well, it's the old like what is it? The millionaire sits down at a table with an immigrant and a blue collar worker and says, "There's 10 cookies." He grabs 9 cookies and says to the worker, "Hey, watch out! That immigrant's trying to take your cookie."
Yeah,
like you're just saying to everybody, like, these people make too much. Their benefits are better than yours. We should get rid of them. Like, yeah. Whereas, like,
By the way, attacking the middle class is bad. You're talking about police. You're talking about fire.
That's for sure.
Right? You're talking about first responders, public works, teachers, nurses. I mean, you're talking about people that
are there serve- a couple DMV people in there? Yeah, probably.
Well, I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with it, too.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, you're talking about people that serve in an extremely important role, and you're going to go after them now?
Yeah.
Like, come on. Like, yeah. We're at this, like, constant right now, like, constant race to the bottom, workers on the defense.
Divide and conquer.
Yeah, it's bad. So shame on you, Iowa, for doing that. And by the way, this is the same state that decided to get in front of every... I give them credit. They were the first to get in front of rolling back child labor laws, right?
They really believe
right? Remember a couple of years ago, we had Timmy on the show? He worked at the beef packing plant?
We should see if Timmy made it, if he's still out there. I don't know.
Yeah, I think he's working 24/7s right now.
Yeah, I know he's not. He's not going to school. He really wanted to get back to school.
No. Well, he has no teachers anymore because they got
rid of them. We should start a GoFundMe for little poor old Timmy.
Hey, let me ask a question. Do you think this is a good idea or a bad idea? I'm going to start a union for the robots. Like, if corporations are people, aren't robots going to be people? Like, so when AI comes, right? I think they need collective bargaining rights. So. No, yeah.
You know, I'm gonna lean on no for this.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. I've got a good reason.
Yeah.
I listened to a podcast with Sam Altman, the founder, you know, of OpenAI, ChatGPT, all that. And he said that one of the job categories that's gonna be created by AI is overseers that are human. Meaning, if a robot says or does something terrible, messes up some quarterly business numbers, says something terrible like Elon's AI always seems to do, they're going to have to follow, they're going to backtrace it to a human being that they can pin all the responsibility on. So robots won't be people. If they say something bad, there will just be some poor guy that used to work, you know, at the DMV in Iowa.
Right.
Now all of a sudden, it's like, this was your job to make sure they didn't do that.
So what does he do? Like, does he shut down the robot? Like, hey, robot, what are you doing? Like,
I'm pretty sure we're not going to just be able to unplug those robots.
No, God, no. I'm telling you, it's Skynet, right?
Yeah, Terminator 2.
Absolutely. All right. So we're chock full of good news today, huh?
You know, at least we can say it with a smile on our face.
Well,
if I wasn't laughing, I'd be crying.
No question about that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, listen, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back. We'll wrap up the show, and we'll see you right back here in a moment. More of The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. So we're gonna finish up a couple of quick things. Ed, you were in D.C., right? A couple of days ago?
I was in Pittsburgh, I was in West Virginia, and I was in D.C. And all in the same day.
Were you really?
I was, yeah.
In the same day?
In the same day. It was a busy day.
That's the greatest.
I assumed that everything in that part of the country is a lot closer together than it is.
It seems like it would be, right? I made the mistake of driving to West Virginia once.
I'm here to tell you. It's a little bit of a hike. It's beautiful, though. I will tell you.
Yeah.
I will tell you.
Hills and stuff. So did you see troops in D.C.?
In D.C., it was the first day that they had uniformed National Guard troops walking around. It's a weird thing to see, Ken.
I'm just curious. And if any of our law enforcement people are listening out there, including the NCL members, MAP, and PBPA, ICOPS, you know, what's your take on having the National Guard supplement what you're doing, having the president sort of commandeer the police department? Like, what are you, if you're a police officer, rank and file, like, are you pro this? Are you anti this? Like, I don't know.
I think if there was adequate justification, folks would be more behind this. But WGN's very own John Williams did a web poll on this after talking about it on his show.
Uh-huh.
And I took a look at it. I think it was either on Facebook or X. And it was like 90% no, 10% yes. When it was like, do you want to see this come to Chicago? Because, of course, the president is threatening to send the National Guard to police Chicago because he thinks J.B. Pritzker is going to run against him or whatever.
Right.
But that's the reason, is it's just like, F me, no, F you, you know, and sending out against your political enemies, sending the National Guard to their cities. I mean, people don't want armed military folks, and I feel for the people in the National Guard.
Yeah,
who probably don't really want to. Don't think that this is necessary.
But what are they? What are they doing? Like, not can if you're National Guard or can you arrest people? Are you shooing the homeless away? Like, where do they go?
So, in the district in D.C., mm-hmm. which I've been there once this week, so I call it the district now. they're talking about any homeless who refuse to relocate
okay.
will be arrested.
Oh.
So that's just a much more expensive form of homelessness because what are we going to do, put them in jail? Or are they going to send them to Alligator Alcatraz?
No.
Like, is your crime not having a house?
Yeah.
Like, what are we going to do at this point? And how much is it going to cost taxpayers to put up people and call them criminals or whatever so it looks good on Fox News?
So instead of getting one meal a day, now we're going to give you three meals a day and a roof over your head and a bed and a shower.
Except now you just can't leave.
Now you just can't leave.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, that is crazy. I'm interested to hear from the police. What do you all think about that? All right. You ready? You ready to hear some other stuff?
I am.
All right. Google this if you get a chance. There's an article, I forget where it was, just Google it. It was talking to trades folks, our bailiwick, if you will, right?
Yeah.
Our bread and butter. And it was literally just asking them, like, hey, what do you think about these jobs getting shut down, right? The wind energy and
right.
The green energy jobs and whatnot. And, you know, I think they were focusing on like a Maine where people like were moving to Maine to work on these solar farms
for
and
sure.
things like that. And, you know, a lot of these comments was like, look, I voted for this because I believe in the immigration policies, et cetera, but never in a million years did I think that I was going to be unemployed because of shutting down, you know, good paying, whether it's union or not, job
yeah.
that I literally moved here for, and now I'm stuck.
Well, yeah, the cuts to these programs, just because it's sort of anti-wind, anti-solar,
yeah.
the number we used last week on the show talking about this was 660,000 jobs.
And so it's coming home to roost, and I just thought...
No wonder you don't want the unemployment numbers to be shown. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you just axed 500,000 jobs.
It is just a... I don't know. It just seems like some of the comments were like, you know, light switch just went on for me. Like, I just realized, like, I made a mistake. Like, this was not, I didn't sign up for this. I didn't vote for this. They didn't really talk about cutting these programs.
Right.
And here I am, and I'm unemployed, and I'm going to have a hard time making rent. So, we had talked about Uber earlier, and I'm going to just sort of close the loop on this. In Wisconsin, Governor Tony Evers, he vetoed a bill that Uber was pushing to put into law that their drivers were independent contractors. And he said, absolutely not happening. He mm-hmm. vetoed it. Uber's going around the country right now trying to get legislation passed. In exchange for these horrible laws, they're going to sort of offer what they're calling like portable benefits. So you can buy insurance, you know, or whatever. Now, try and buy insurance on an Uber salary.
Yeah.
Not happening. But I was looking at something. My son was in Vegas a couple of days ago.
Good for him.
So he's on my Uber, and I looked at the thing, and it was something in Vegas, and there was a big note on there that said, click here to contact your legislators because they're forcing Uber drivers to have too much insurance.
Dude.
Too much insurance.
Dude.
Right?
Uber has been in the news for a lot of things, and the lack of background checks
Oof.
Is a big thing because the number came out last week from the New York Times
yeah,
that said
bad.
They are receiving a complaint for sexual misconduct of their drivers
yes.
once every 8 minutes. People are complaining of assault. I'm not talking about harassment. I'm
yeah.
talking about assault
yes.
from drivers who have been previously complained about for assault.
Right.
So if I'm Uber, I'm probably like, maybe don't take the fight over the insurance rates at the moment. You might want to just like bury yourself in a hole and...
No, because these companies are so hubristic. They don't care. They literally don't care. They have more money than God, and they're like, okay, we have a sexual assault problem. You know, sure, we'll fix that too. But in the meantime, you know, don't make our Uber drivers get car insurance. That's
yeah.
ridiculous. You know,
yeah.
whatever. It's outrageous. I hope they get sued up the yin yang, to be blunt with you. But anyway, thank you so much for listening. Thanks for all your support. keep up the emails, the texts. We really appreciate them. And we'll be back next week with more of The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
The preceding episode of The Workers' Mic was powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare. For additional information and podcasts of The Workers' Mic, visit WGNRadio.com.